So before we start our practice, I'm just going to say a few words, a few instructional pieces around the practice. What we're going to do in this practice is practice with all three characteristics. So impermanence, or anicca in Pali, dukkha, the stress of our lives, the unsatisfactoriness, as well as the not-self characteristic, anatta. And we'll begin with the impermanence part, but we'll slowly eventually be weaving in the dukkha and the anatta pieces. So what we're going to do, and once we've kind of established ourselves, is have an anchor of body and breathing together, kind of a spacious awareness, and noticing the changing nature of experience with the sensations, the breath, the body sensations, and making some mental notes. So we get ourselves settled for a few minutes, and then we'll open into this very much of a Vipassana kind of practice, where we're noting sensations, body and breath, and how they change, how they're moving, they're in flux. Then we'll tag on to that, noting the feeling tone, pleasant, unpleasant, neither, to any of those sensations. As we practice, thoughts and emotions will show, and we can note them and their feeling tones as well. And then anchor back again in body and breathing. As we go along, so the idea here is, as this quote from the Buddha says, thus shall you think of all this fleeting world, a star at dawn, a bubble in a stream, a flash of lightning in a summer cloud, a flickering lamp, a phantom, and a dream. So that's the impermanence part of our practice. And then as we go along, we'll start to notice that we may be clinging to experiences, whether it's clinging to body sensations or thoughts or emotions, and we can notice that clinging, and the clinging may be chasing after the pleasant, it may be trying to push away the unpleasant, aversion. And when we notice that clinging, we can really open, this is dukkha. Dukkha is what happens when we cling one way or the other. Of course, some dukkha isn't about clinging. It's about the dukkha of being a human being with a heart and a mind and a body, right? The sickness, aging, and losses that happen in any human life. The dukkha. Regardless, we notice any kind of clinging, we notice any kind of dukkha. And we note it, pleasant, unpleasant, neutral. If it seems very heavy and persistent, you might engage in a rain practice. So remember, with the rain practice, it's really helpful to put that G in front of the rain for grounding. And then the R is the recognition. That's where we name it. We name the experience. And if it's some kind of physical discomfort, see if you can let go of the pain word. So we name it, we allow it. In these moments, we're going to really allow it to be here. We investigate it, not with our mind so much as with a sensing of the body. Investigate. And then with the N of rain, given that we're working with the three characteristics, we can affirm, this is not me, not mine. Nature rolling on. And of course, that insight and way of practicing you may find incredibly nurturing opens the heart to compassion. Anyway, you'll see. So you can, at that midpoint, when I give you the clue, the cue, you can try the grain practice for a wee bit. And then we'll carry on with our practice after that, continuing to be anchored in body and breathing, noting sensations and feeling tones. And then whenever we notice any clingings, we can say, not me, not mine. Nature rolling on, and see if there's a little letting go, a little opening, a little spaciousness that can come with that. All right, so let's go into our practice now. So taking these opening moments to ground yourself in body and in breathing, and bring some wise and kindly intentions to the practice as you do so. So take a couple of minutes for that. And as you feel ready, with a spacious awareness of breath and body together, opening to the different sensations as they are salient to you, whether it be the breath or something in the body, within the wider container of breath and body as a whole, noticing particular sensations, naming them, and noticing how they change, how they come and go. And as you feel ready, you might tag on the feeling tone to any of those sensations, pleasant, unpleasant, neither. Notice how the sensations and the feeling tones change. recognizing, noting sensations, feeling tones, and being aware within this of any clinging to the pleasant, any aversion towards the unpleasant, and what happens with the neutral, getting lost. And so when there's any clinging, whether towards or against, we can be aware, oh, this is dukkha. This is dukkha. And we feel into it and name it. And we may be able to just let it be, let it go, and abide in that spacious awareness again of breath and body as a whole, noting sensations and feeling tones. If you get lost in unpleasant or pleasant sensations, try on noticing the neutral. If you get swept up by dukkha, aversion, really notice there are pleasant sensations happening too, and neither pleasant nor unpleasant. noticing the peace of non-clinging, letting be, letting go. Gregory Orr reminds us in his poem that not all dukkha is from clinging. He writes, "Grief will come to you, grip and cling all you want. It makes no difference. Catastrophe, it's just waiting to happen. Loss, you can be certain of it. Flow and swirl of the world carried along as if by a dark current. All you can do is keep swimming. All you can do is keep singing." And so if some powerful dukkha, grief has come to you, taking the next few minutes to engage in a rain grain practice. Otherwise, continue to practice with breath and body as a whole and opening to the changing nature of experience, noting sensations, noting feeling tones, how they change. Remember to try on the end of rain as not me, not mine, or nature rolling on. And if you've been engaging in a rain grain practice, finish it up over the next minute or two and continue to practice with breath and body as a whole, opening to the changing nature of sensations, noting, feeling tone, and adding in, not me, not mine, nature rolling on. And see if there can be some freedom, some letting go with that to any places of clinging. taking a moment to notice any benefits of practicing in this way. The diligence around the awareness. The diligence around aware of clinging and aversion. And the possibility of not me, not mine. The freedom to simply be. And D.H. Lawrence, I think, describes this very well when he wrote, "When we get out of the glass bottles of our ego, and when we escape like squirrels turning in the cages of our personality and get into the forest again, we shall shiver with cold and fright, but things will happen to us so that we don't know ourselves. Cool, unlying life will rush in, and passion will make our bodies taut with power. We shall stamp our feet with new power, and old things will fall down. We shall laugh, and institutions will curl up like burnt paper." Maybe some sense of your own inner institutions. Those old, familiar, conditioned habit energies. Practicing in this way with its spaciousness can really help us feel into the truth of interbeing, which is expressed here in a particular way by Salman Rushdie, a little quote from Midnight's Children, and that was written about the time of the India becoming independent of Great Britain. And the eye in this quote is not the eyeball, it's the I, as in me, myself, and I. Okay, here it is. Who, what am I? My answer? I am everyone, everything, whose being in the world affected was affected by mine. I am anything that happens after I've gone, which would not have happened if I had not come. Nor am I particularly exceptional in this matter. Each I, every one of the now 600 million plus of us, contains a similar multitude. I repeat for the last time, to understand me, you'll have to swallow the world. The world, the universe, contained within each one of us.